celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio, where we talk about the travel and lifestyle for you and your furry best friend. So for those of us who travel with our pets and live the Fido Friendly mantra of leave no dog behind, my first guest, Larry Wright from The Green Pet Shop, has just what the doctor ordered when wanting comfort for Fido wherever he might be. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm doing great. So nice to be able to talk to you. You know, I love your logo on your website, thegreenpetshop.com, and especially love the tagline, a better tomorrow starting today. So what made you start your company, and what do you mean by that?
Well, we started the company because we're pet lovers, and we're planet lovers, and we wanted to combine the two and find a way to bring to the industry and bring to market some very unique, very special and eco-friendly products that are safe for our pets and safe for the planet as well. And so we started the company with a few products and one signature product in particular, which was our cool pet pad, which I know you have one, and you traveled around with it and hopefully enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. For those that don't know about our pet adoption tour we do every year, it's Get Your Licks on Route 66. And Larry provided us with not one but two cool pet pads. And we use that. You know, we're on the road almost 2 months, and we place those in the crates because we'll crate our dogs when we travel. And those pads are so wonderful. Not only did they fit perfectly in the dog crates, I could tell that I almost could feel the boys just like let out a sigh when they got in there. They seemed to be that comfortable. So how does that actually work? Because it's not something you plug in.
No, we invented the product, and we have patented the product. It's the only product of its type that actually cools on contact without the need for refrigeration, and it doesn't take any real electricity. You don't have to add water to it. There have been a few companies that have come out with a similar type product since we did, which I guess is supposed to be flattering if imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But at any rate, we do own the patent on it. And what it is it's just basically a heat-activated, pressure-activated cooling product whereby if your dog lies down on it, the heat that is created and the pressure that is created from his body activates the gel, and the gel, you know, the gel basically sucks the heat from his body into the gel, so it has a cooling effect. So it's basically a heat and pressure activated product that's very unique.
Well, it is, and it works wonderfully well. And I really was sincere when I told you it almost seems like they let out a sigh of relief, because we're going from LA to Chicago. So we're going into places like Amarillo, Texas,
sure,
where it might be a little warmer, and not that they're sitting outside, but you know, they're still going to get warm. And you have some other products on your website, thegreenpetshop.com. What other things besides that?
Well, we have many products, and you know, again, we pride ourselves in trying to find unique products, the products that everybody doesn't have. We have training pads are very popular, but we came out with bamboo training pads. And I don't know, as you may or may not know, but bamboo is probably the most sustainable product in the world. We have a product called Cat Pack, which is basically a litter house that folds up and back for cats, made of 100% recycled paper that you can use for travel. That's a wonderful product. And just recently, what we think is going to be a really amazing product for dogs and cats is our new CBD gel pen, which is something that's very interesting, and we think it's going to be incredible.
Now that pin, can you tell the listeners about that, what that actually is? I know, but I don't think everyone would automatically know.
Right. I didn't know either at the beginning and when I first learned about it, but basically what CBD is, it's cannabis oil. It's CBD stands for cannabis oil, and most people would think right away of cannabis or THC or marijuana, and it's a derivative of it. But it contains no THC. It's made from natural hemp, not from a cannabis plant. It's made from a hemp plant. And what it has been known to do, there are properties within that product that has been known to shrink tumors, to help with arthritis, to deal with anxiety, those types of things. Even though we don't make the claims that it does that, we have testimonials from users that have tried the product and said, this is what has happened with our dog. We started using it and their tumor shrank. Or this is what happened with our dog. He, you know, is tremendously arthritic, older on, you know, getting on in age, and he's not limping anymore. Or our dog used to go nuts and do backflips and circles every time there were fireworks on the 4th of July, and now he doesn't have any problems with it. So this is the kind of feedback that we've gotten. Mm-hmm. Again, these aren't claims that we can make, but this is the feedback that we have gotten, and people that are familiar with CBD products understand what the properties are and the healing properties are of CBD. And I have some friends by myself that I know that live on these kinds of products. Mm-hmm. And our product in particular, we believe is very different and unique and the very best product on the market for a couple reasons. And if you have the time, I'll explain why.
Go for it.
So all the rest of the products on the market for pets, as far as I know, are edibles. So if, for instance, you have a treat that is made by a company that makes CBD treats, and there are 5 milligrams of CBD within the treat, by the time it goes through the digestive tract and gets absorbed into the blood system, you have no idea how much of that 5 milligrams is actually going to get absorbed into the system and how much your pet is going to get, how much of the product, how much of the dosage your pet is going to get. Our product has a transdermal application, which is unique and different in the pet industry, whereby you apply a measured amount of the gel into the inner ear, where the veiny part of the inner ear, where they can't lick it off, but all of it, every bit of the dosage, 100% of the dosage, will get absorbed into the system. So you know that it is a better application and they're going to get the entire dosage. Secondly, and more importantly, most of the CBD products in this country and most of the products that are, you know, in pet products, I won't speak specifically for any, but most of them that I know of are using imported hemp. And the hemp that's imported isn't grown overseas for the purposes that it's being used for here. And as a result, it contains high levels of toxins, heavy metals, and pesticides. And so, you know, there are things that can be dangerous about it if you don't know what's in it or where it's coming from. Our product is grown in an organic family farm in Colorado for this purpose alone. So we know it is the highest quality and safest product on the market. So the fact that, you know, we have that safe product combined with the unique application that we have, in my mind and in most that we've presented this to, make this a very, very unique product and something that we think is going to do very well.
Well, it sounds like it. It sounds fantastic, and testimonies really are very, very valuable. So I would encourage everyone to visit your website, thegreenpetshop.com, and see what else you have. So, Larry, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
For more information, log on to thegreenpetshop.com. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk about taking great photos of your pets. So sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
I am the family dog, and it's that time of year again. The one where pet parents start looking for Phyto-Friendly hotels and destinations where Phyto is welcome. Make no bones about it. Pets are part of the family, and we like to sniff out new places too. And we hate to be turned away, especially when we're on our best behavior. So we won't be left out in the cold. Be sure to pick up a copy of Phyto Friendly Magazine to find the best hotels and destinations where Phyto is always welcome. Go online to phytofriendly.com and subscribe today.
It's a problem every dog owner or new parent shares, capturing that picture-perfect moment before it's gone. It can be impossible. The Squeak and Snap is an adorable teddy bear that you plug into your smartphone. When you squeeze it, it squeaks and takes a photo at the same time. Everyone, including your dogs, will be looking at the camera, and you'll get memories you can cherish forever. Visit us on our website, www.squeakandsnap.com. That's S-Q-U-E-A-K, the letter N-S-N-A-P.com.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims with Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is proudly brought to you by our good friends at The Honest Kitchen, where dehydrated raw pet foods offer a way to create fresh, natural meals for your pet in the comfort of your home. My next guest is photographer and animal advocate John Shepherd, who is here to talk to us about his company Pup Treat and his recent visit to Chile. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Susan. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So how long have you been taking professional photos of our beloved pets with your company? This is such a cute play on words, the Pup Treat Studio.
Thank you. I've been a professional photographer since 2009. Last year, I realized that the bulk of my work was dog-related, so I figured, why fight it? And the Pup Treat Studio was born.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes we don't really realize what goes into taking such great portraits. And I know speaking for myself, when our dogs are out having a great time and I'm trying to get a nice shot or put something on Instagram, and I either have bad lighting or I've just missed it. So what kind of tips can you give us for taking the perfect pup treat?
Well, I think you hit on it right there. And that is, you want to prepare the scene, make sure that, you know, your basics are accounted for. So make sure that the background isn't cluttered. There's nothing distracting. That the lighting is appropriate. And once you have that accounted for, it's simply a matter of being patient and just letting the scene unravel and letting your dog do its thing naturally.
Do you think that there's a good time of the day? Because I've heard this before from photographers, that there are a couple of times during the day that it's really perfect lighting. Or do you feel that way, or are we just trying to make the best with what we have?
I think that's always the case. But yeah, there's something called the golden hour. That's the hour before sundown, or the hour after sunrise, if you're up that early.
And try not to be.
Yeah, me either. But it really does help. The light is from the sun, is diffused. All those colors that you see from in the sky, they actually come and they'll sparkle off your dog. It really, where you start getting that almost no filter needed look. Another great time to take dog pictures, and a lot of people don't realize this, is during overcast days. Clouds act as a wonderful light modifier, and I absolutely encourage people to take more pictures when it's cloudy outside.
Oh, that's interesting. I would not have thought of that. And something that I found really interesting on your website that you're doing, tell us a little bit about your recent trip to Chile and your advocacy for helping the overpopulation of strays. I didn't realize there was such an overpopulation. What a problem they're having.
There are so many strays in Chile. I believe there's 180,000 just in Santiago alone. As a dog lover, it's absolutely surreal. They're everywhere. But, you know, the truth is, I'm not actually trying to help the strays. The project we're working on, I mean, really, we'd argue that they could help us. Currently making a documentary called Big Bites and Chili Dogs. For it, we're looking to head back to South America and explore what dog owners and policymakers in the United States could learn from the Chilean stray crisis.
Mm-hmm. When you say what they can help us or what can they teach us, what tell us a little bit about what you mean.
Okay. Well, you know, growing up in the United States, you know, it seems like there's always that new inherently dangerous breed. It wasn't German Shepherds, it was Rottweilers, it wasn't Rottweilers, it was, you know, it's Pit Bulls. They've been kind of beaten on the bully breeds lately. But what I noticed down there is that a huge segment of the dogs are German Shepherds. I mean, we saw on multiple occasions packs of, like, six adult German Shepherds roaming down the street. And, you know, we've been trained almost to either run, call the police, or hide. And all these guys wanted was belly rubs, ear scratches, and maybe a bit of food. They were unbelievably well socialized. And you start looking at some of the issues that we have in our country when it comes to us having, you know, 4.5 million dog attacks each year in the United States, or the 1.2 million dogs that we euthanize every year. It starts becoming apparent that, you know, as much as we've been working on these issues, we're not getting as far as we could. And there might be some systematic problems. And I think that there are a lot of things, for as much as that's going wrong in Chile, that we could actually learn a few things about socialization and the integration of our pets back into society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think probably, too, we humanize them so much we do think of them as our fur children, and it's understandable, and you're not suggesting that we don't, but there's probably a lot of information that you're going to be able to portray in the documentary. And how long do you think that you're going to be down there? When are you planning on going again?
Right now we're in funding mode. So we're hoping to get production started. Obviously they're in the Southern Hemisphere, so their seasons are reversed. We'd like to get started in our fall, which would be their spring, as things start to warm up a little bit. If anyone's interested in learning more about our project, I would encourage them to visit our Indiegogo campaign. We're looking to raise about $85,000, which I realize is in almost sounds like an insurmountable goal. But doing the math, we realize that if everyone could just donate $2, we could easily make this a reality. So there's a link to the page from our website. If you visit puptrade.com, there's a link right there in the header. We'll direct listeners straight to the information.
Oh, great. Well, I think that sounds wonderful, and I really want to wish you the best of luck on that, and hopefully we can help you reach that goal. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you so much, Susan, and you have a great day.
You do the same. For more information, log on to puptrade.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk to an expert on the outdoor habitat for Fido. So, sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Fido-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
It's a problem every dog owner or new parent shares, capturing that picture-perfect moment before it's gone. It can be impossible. The Squeak and Snap is an adorable teddy bear that you plug into your smartphone. When you squeeze it, it squeaks and takes a photo at the same time. Everyone, including your dogs, will be looking at the camera, and you'll get memories you can cherish forever. Visit us on our website, www.squeakandsnap.com. That's S-Q-U-E-A-K, the letter N-S-N-A-P.com.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims with Fido-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is brought to you by the Fess Parker Doubletree in Santa Barbara, where both you and Fido receive cookies at check-in. So, what plants are poisonous to Fido? What's the best grass to grow in areas of our country where water usage is restricted? My next guest, Chris Kaiser from Turf Mutt, is here to answer all those burning questions. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Susan. Good to be with you.
You know, spring is always the time we start looking for the flora and the fauna to brighten our environment. So what are a few plants that are dangerous to our pets?
Well, there's a host, and it varies certainly kind of by animal and by region. Azaleas, English ivy, daffodils, poinsettias, and rhododendron leaves to some. The key is to recognize if your dog in particular is a plant eater or plant chewer, and then research your climactic region or zone for, just Google it, pet-friendly plantings, and it'll give you a better list of them.
Oh, that's good, because I know we were out recently, and, you know, it just kind of puts a little step in your giddy-up when you're out there looking at these beautiful plants, and I fell in love with a hydrangea. I've never had a hydrangea. I've always wanted a hydrangea, so we got one, and I didn't even bother to look it up. Is that on the safe list? I'm in Idaho.
I think, but there's so many. Again, I would highly encourage you just to research it. I mean, just do a quick Google and you'll see. I love hydrangeas. I don't have them because we have deer. And deer, they're cupcakes. And so they disappear quickly.
Oh, you know, we actually have them too. I don't see them often. We're out in the country as well. I don't see them often, but in the winter, I know they've come through the portico because they have their cute little paw prints in the snow. But anyway, I first saw you on the CBS Weekly series Lucky Dog, and that's where you meet the newly adoptive pet parents and you check out their yards and you advise them on the proper environment. So what actually led you to educating the public on these topics?
It grew out of the drought situation in California. What we saw, you know, and Lucky Dog is primarily in Southern California, and they're dealing with Californians who adopt dogs. Turf Mutt, our education program that we partner with Scholastic, it's a big one, about 60 million kids have used it. There's a real dog character behind the superhero, which is a cartoonized version, and he's a rescue. And rescue has been a passion of mine for some period of time, and so we use his backstory, his rescue, to help the program. And so in the drought situation, we saw one of the first things to do or recommend was to eliminate the landscape, deaden the landscape, tear out the lawn. And what we were seeing, that what about folks that had kids and dogs who needed a safe place for them to play? And what were the environmental and health consequences of that? And so that's when we got involved, is one way to educate folks, and in particular homeowners and those with dogs, that you can in fact have a lawn, you can in fact have a living landscape that helps both the environment, can be drought. Look, we have to recognize the drought. The drought is real. But there are hosts of drought-tolerant species, including turf grass. There was this belief that, oh, well, you have to water turf or turf needs all this water. Well, there's certainly species that don't. And say Bermuda grass, for instance, once it's established, it requires essentially no supplemental water. It's tough. It's very good for the Southern California climate. And so we want to tell these homeowners, they were like, well, if we need to tear up our lawn and plant native plants, you know, that'll be helpful. Well, the problem with a lot of natives is your dogs and kids will destroy them. So you need adaptive species, good plant cover that'll give you the environmental benefits of a living landscape. Now, one of the things in California was rocks, mulch, cactus, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. Or even plastic grass. Well, there's no biodiversity there, none. Living landscapes create oxygen. They sequester carbon dioxide. And what California found was, as they eliminated a lot of landscapes, they eliminated the ability of that space to absorb rainwater, to hold rainwater on a surface so that trees could use it. So they lost a lot of trees. And so that was the fundamental driver, was the drought and how the state was telling folks to react to it and how it complicated the lives of folks getting a new dog.
I just, you could, when you started mentioning things like cactus, I just cringed because I could imagine people, well-meaning people, not thinking we're planting cactus and how many pets, you know, could have been harmed by that. But I there's so much, you have so much on your website, turfmutt.com, and it's really hard to pinpoint just a few to talk about this time, but I love that it's a teaching site. I love Lucky. I mean, if you could touch on how it is a teaching site, how Lucky goes out there and makes public appearances, I think that would be really great for our listeners.
Sure. Well, Lucky is a real dog. He's my dog. He got discovered. He was at a communications company. He goes to work every day. He goes to Capitol Hill. He travels. And so we were trying to come up with an idea is how do we teach kids? Remember, the environment, nature, starts at your back door. You know, there's 60, 70 million households out there. If we all did our part for nature at our own back door, put the right plants, added biodiversity, think of all the beneficial changes we could make. And so we wanted to be able to start to put this into the schools and how could, and to come up with curriculum, STEM, legitimate education, that's science and technical, to teach kids about the outdoors, teach them about how they can help. And it's photosynthesis, and it's dealing with the heat island effect. We all live in, so many of us live in man-made environments, especially Southern California, Houston, Baltimore, D.C., where you have all, oceans of turf and asphalt and hard roof that just sheet water. So how do you hold water on a site? And so we created good guys and bad guys. So like I said, there's a cartoon, who knows your lawn best? Your dog. And so who best to teach the family about their specific space? It's the dog. And so the dog became a superhero. There's a cartoon. So Turf Mutt is a cartoon character. He's got bad guys, Heat Freak, Dust Demon, Carbon Creep, Dr. Runoff. He's got good guys, Professor Botany, Big Rudy, that help him. And there are all these lesson plans. And they teach kids about plantings and the environment, how to deal with heat, how to deal with runoff, how to figure out this is a big country. So a lot of climactic variation. And so you go to turfmutt.com. You can click on your map, find out where you live. You find the right plants. To do your part. And so we started with Weekly Reader. We started in Sacramento in D.C. schools, and it grew, and it went to the Discovery Channel, and it grew there. And now he's at the nation's largest education curriculum provider, Scholastic. More than 60 million kids have used it. It's grown and grown. It's an education resource at EPA, the U.S. Department of Education, the Department of Energy, Fish and Wildlife, et cetera, et cetera. U.S. Green, USGBC. So it's grown and grown, and his celebrity now. He's become an education celebrity because he is a real dog, but there's this cartoon version of him that's taught in the schools. The lesson plans are the cartoon, and there are contests, and schools can win money, Turf Mutt funds, to help with an outdoor classroom or to help green up the school, and he does make trips to these schools to award these monies, and there's nothing like a grouping of kids at a elementary school when Turf Mutt shows up to award several thousand dollars to the school, and it's based on student work. It's a contest, and so they'll do an essay about why the school should do this or do that to make their environment better. And so it's become a fantastic living, learning tool. And we had this opportunity to go into Lucky Dog because he's a rescue dog. He's trying to paw it forward. Every dog can be a Turf Mutt. And that's how we ended up with Lucky Dog.
That's
at
amazing.
CBS.
That's amazing. That's a wonderful story. And I want to congratulate you on all that success and hope to have you back to visit with us again. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
My pleasure.
For more information, log on to turfmutt.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, my next guest will talk about Clifford, the big red dog, and Bayer Animal Health. So, sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
It's a problem every dog owner or new parent shares, capturing that picture-perfect moment before it's gone. It can be impossible. The Squeak and Snap is an adorable teddy bear that you plug into your smartphone. When you squeeze it, it squeaks and takes a photo at the same time. Everyone, including your dogs, will be looking at the camera, and you'll get memories you can cherish forever. Visit us on our website, www.squeakandsnap.com. That's S-Q-U-E-A-K, the letter N-S-N-A-P.com.
I am the family dog, and it's that time of year again. The one where pet parents start looking for Phyto-friendly hotels and destinations where Phyto is welcome. Make no bones about it. Pets are part of the family, and we like to sniff out new places too. And we hate to be turned away, especially when we're on our best behavior. So we won't be left out in the cold. Be sure to pick up a copy of Phyto-Friendly Magazine to find the best hotels and destinations where Phyto is always welcome. Go online to phytofriendly.com and subscribe today.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims with Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is brought to you by Cambria Shores Inn, a Phyto-Friendly hotel where Phyto enjoys the VIP treatment, and that's very important pet, and pet parents receive a breakfast basket each morning. My next guest, Bayer Animal Health veterinarian Dr. Dan Carey, is here to talk about the special partnership with Clifford, the big red dog. Hi, Dr. Carey. Welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Susan. It's so great to be here.
I'm so happy you could join us, and everybody loves Clifford the Big Red Dog, and I understand the partnership that Bayer has is something about the books, and especially Clifford Goes to the Doctor books. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's a fabulous idea, and Bayer Animal Health got this idea, worked with Scholastic, who publishes Clifford the Big Red Dog. And they created a special edition of Clifford Goes to the Doctor to emphasize to kids in this age range, the 4 to 8 year olds that are so enamored with Clifford, that it's important to take your pet to see the veterinarian. It's also important to protect them against various diseases. And when we talked to the first graders, they were asking all about shots and stuff like this, and of course volunteering their own stories about getting shots for themselves. But that message really resonated with them because of Clifford. So we're really pleased that it worked out as well as it did.
Well, there's a really cute photo that we posted on our blog at fighterfriendly.com where you and Clifford recently were talking with kids at the Miami, Florida classroom. And I mean, the looks on the children, you know, this child in particular, he was just smitten with Clifford. And it seems to me that you hit on something there where they feel so comfortable, and you said they're sharing their stories, and they really are engaged when you're able to do this. And
you know,
and did you have any special one that comes to mind as far as some of these kids, what they had to offer?
Well, yeah, I can offer a couple, because one of the things that was interesting, I think, was that I was not as aware that the kids identified not only with Emily Elizabeth, Clifford's owner, but I think they also identify a little bit with Clifford. So as a result, that's where some of the stories came up with, you know, why do we need to protect ourselves against ticks? And I didn't even have to answer the question. I just had to ask, does anybody know? And they started from their own experiences talking about why. I mean, these are first graders.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they were saying, oh, you can't because you'll get sick. Now, of course, they don't know about Lyme disease and all that kind of stuff, but they know that ticks can cause disease. And I was flabbergasted by that openness. They also talked about things like, you know, broken bones and relating them not only to a pet, but to brothers and sisters that had similar things. So the melding, the combining of the concepts and the importance of proper health care oozed out of these first graders with smiles. It was fabulous.
I read where 1,600 copies were donated in this area, and I didn't see, I don't know if this is going to be an ongoing thing. I know it was kind of, it looked to me like it was in conjunction with the fact that May is National Lyme Disease Awareness Month and National Pet Month. So I didn't know if this was something that was engineered just like a one time, or that it was so well received. If you know, if this is something that will happen on an annual basis.
Well, it was initially designed for Lyme and Pet Awareness Month, but then there was also a vector-borne disease symposium that Bayer sponsored, and the importance of tick-borne diseases and flea diseases and mosquito diseases were discussed there, so it kind of all went together. But the reception at the school was so good for the basic concepts that I can't imagine we won't try to do something again with Clifford.
Oh yeah, that looked like it was a big hit. So for us the who are listening right now, what type of precautions should we be taking right now with our pets?
This is that time of year. Yeah, Lyme Disease Awareness Month is this month for a good reason, because particularly in the parts of the country that have had winter for a while, May is such a great time to get out, expose ourselves to ticks and anything they might be carrying. So we want to repel those ticks. We don't want them to have a chance to bite. because a bite can turn into an attachment that will last for even as short as 3 hours, and some diseases can be transmitted. Now, Lyme disease takes 24 hours, but what a lot of people don't realize is those ticks, those deer ticks that transmit Lyme disease, are tiny. And when we see them big, that's usually the fifth or sixth day of them being attached. By then, anything they've got in a disease has been transferred to the host, whoever that might be. So repelling them, don't letting them even get a chance to bite, is the single most important thing we can do.
I know in Idaho, I'm a native Southern California, but we moved out to Idaho about 11 years ago, and I was always told that the climate that we're in, we're high desert, we're on the border, we're southwest of Boise. And I was always told that we didn't really have much problem with that, and we do take precaution with flea and tick for both our boys. But in the winter months, we don't use anything. And is that a wise precaution, or is this something, no matter what, you should just continue month to month?
The Companion Animal Parasite Council is an independent organization comprised of veterinarians, parasitologists. There's some CDC members and so forth. They recommend year-round broad-spectrum flea and tick protection, as well as heartworm disease protection, because some of these ticks, like the deer tick, for example, the black-legged tick, the scientific name Ixodes scapularis, can be moving around at roughly freezing temperatures. And even in the wintertime, I've talked with veterinarians in upper Minnesota where it does get quite cold in the wintertime, and they see dogs coming into their practices in January with a tick or two on them. It's not like it is in the spring or summer or early fall, but it doesn't take much sunlight and a dog laying on some leaf litter to warm it up enough for those ticks to get on them. And again, once they start feeding, 3 hours for some diseases, 24 hours later for Lyme, they can transmit. So we just, year-round protection is good.
Well, I'm glad I asked that question. So where can we find out more information about preventative pet care?
There are two places that are really quite good. One is the Bayer website, petbasics.com, PETBASICS.com. The other one is the Companion Animal Parasite Council site, which is capcvet.org. So capcvet.org. And they have information about fleas and ticks and other parasites that are still a problem, even though we tend not to think of those kinds of things being prominent in the United States.
Yeah. Well, we all love our pets, our companion animals, so anything we can do to help them have a comfortable and long life, we certainly will. So, Dr. Carey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
My pleasure, Susan.
That's it for Fido Friendly Travel Talk. And for more information on today's show or just about traveling with Fido, go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today. Until next time, travel safe and leave no dog behind. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at AnimalRadio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio. Network.